I'm Cadence DeBuse, and this is Busybody Podcast. Today, we've got a Q&A with myself and Christina Che, food and recipe writer, formerly of Bon Appetit magazine. Christina's asking me questions because we are co-hosting Nourish Yourself, a program that I've developed and that Christina is newly co-hosting with me to help you get the information that you need so that you can make the right choices for yourself. Christina's going to be providing food shopping recipes and pantry guides. She's going to be on our live group chat so that you can ask her questions in real time if you get stuck. You get 4 live virtual one-to-one sessions with me so that we can go over what's keeping you from finding a routine that you can work with and that you will stick with. You also get 3 self-paced workshops on nutrition, digestion, and kind of a myth busting around weight loss. This is definitely not a weight loss program. If anything, we're hoping that you're going to learn more about your food so that you can really release yourself from the kind of guilt, seesaw behavior that so many of us get trapped in, especially since so many of us have a history of disordered eating when we were younger. Maybe you've moved beyond that, but you still have these kind of disorganized or sort of sticky areas where you know it's not quite what you should be doing, but you don't really know what you could be doing instead. That's where we come in. So I hope you enjoy this Q&A. It's very casual. I was literally eating my lunch while we put it together, and I realized that we could put it out in this forum. So forgive any background noise and moments when potentially my mouth is full, but that's what this program is all about, enjoying your food, and hope you enjoy this. Thanks so much.
First of all, I would love to know your general interest and history around and relationship around food has been in your life, because it's clearly something that is important to you.
Totally. That's a giant question.
We can break it down into ABC.
The good history is that both my parents cooked growing up. My dad's from the South. He's from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And my mom just grew up in a household that was really into food. She's a New Yorker. So there was a lot of food appreciation, and food was never seen as like a bad thing in our household. And I'm really grateful for that, because I think for so many people, either you don't get introduced to a lot of food as a child, or you get introduced to like good food, bad food mentality. And I just feel really fortunate that for whatever reason, my parents just didn't have that mentality.
And did you cook with them, or was it sort of like they cooked?
They cooked, but I used to hang around in the kitchen when my mom was cooking. You can't help my mom do anything.
Sure.
She's one of those people who will be like, help me. And then she's just doing it. And you're like, I'll stand here.
And then does she get mad later?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. She's like, well, I did everything. And you're like, yeah, well, that is what happened. But I used to sit in the kitchen with my mom and watch her cook. And at some point when I was a teenager, I started cooking a little bit. I literally remember the first cookbook I ever used that was called something like 1001 Pasta Recipes.
Oh, wow.
And I learned to make like a really basic tomato sauce, basically by hand, you know, like by scratch, like literally stewing the tomatoes with, you know, onions and garlic, really basic. But I was amazed. I was just amazed. And with that, when I was almost 16, when I was like spring before I was 16, my father died very suddenly. My parents were already divorced. I was like 5, but I don't know why I always say that part. I guess in my mind, it always seems, I was always really grateful that our house didn't change, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't live in our house. That would have been like even more terrible for people to know that that did happen. And basically like a year to the month that happened later, I was like unable to digest anything. This is actually like in one of my early seasons of the podcast. There's an episode just with my name as the title where I kind of talk about this. And you know, at the time people called it like, what do they call it? Irritable bowel or something, which like, it's one of those things that like mostly teenage girls get and like all this stuff. And it's like clearly like so obviously was stress and grief and anxiety and being a teenager and like, who knows what? And nobody was asking me those questions. I was just, you know, trying to find out if I was like gluten intolerant and all this bullshit. So I really, that really put me on a trajectory of trying to understand food and nutrition because, it was so, it was like when you have digestive issues, that's just your whole life. And it was just like, I was just like in discomfort so often. And looking back on that, I'm like, yeah, I was basically had like just raging anxiety that was just in my gut basically. But there was just so much less awareness about those kinds of things, even though that wasn't really that long ago. This is like the early 2000s basically.
Yeah, no, totally.
So from there, I started really getting interested in like whole foods and
as a management response.
Yeah. And I just got really interested in like, I guess like the quality of food. So I would say the only really big shift, because I was still living at home, that happened in our household is I started influencing everybody to buy whole grain stuff. I remember that was like a shift for my mom. And I like went down a whole, I mean, that was really, I just went down a whole rabbit hole. I used to eat like only grains for like days at a time. There's like things like mono diets that you do to soothe your system. A really classic mono diet in Chinese medicine and also Ayurveda is to only eat grain. So you just eat rice or you just eat oats or whatever grain. I got super into traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture and like all about the energetic qualities of food and respecting like the whole, you know, turnip root from the part that's coming off to the greens and like just kind of like interacting with food as a living thing that it is and not just seeing it as like, you know, this is like a carrot that came off the grocery shelf, but really realizing it's still alive. It still has all these qualities to it. That also, because I was like a miserable teenager heading into college, definitely like kind of hardened into being really like afraid of processed food and like afraid of sugar and like, you know, the things that we do to ourselves when we're younger, you just like all the boundaries just get really fixed and like, you just like don't know how to hold nuance in any way. So
can I ask you, like, at this stage in life, were you feeling better physically?
Good question. I think so. I think in terms of just like the actual issues that I've been having, like the actual real symptoms, I think, yeah, I think that was somehow getting better. But I was not better at all mentally or emotionally. So that's kind of interesting. I think probably, God, you know, what's really interesting about this whole process is it's so integrated now into how I eat that I can't even remember like kind of what led to what. The kind of like just that aspect of being much more aware of like the quality of food, literally what it's doing for you, like Eastern medicine in general is much more about like how different foods have temperatures and like, you know, do different things in your system. Western science does not pay any attention to that, but it is real. Like people in hot countries in Vietnam, in Thailand, like eat chilies and things that literally make you sweat and it helps cool you down. Like there are just like, it's obvious once you start looking at people's cuisines and where they're from, like this is like a legitimate thing. So that I think really helped me feel better because I basically was learning how to tune into myself, and there's like no better way to like get over your mental health issues and your physical issues than to literally sit with yourself and be like, is this what I want right now? Like, how do I feel? How does my body feel? You know, do I want to be stimulated by something sweet? Do I want to be calmed by something heavier? I'm definitely someone who's more of like a really mental, like intense. I'm thinking a lot. I'm like up energy wise. So I quickly learned that eating heavier, denser food, which does mean oilier, fattier, you know, the grains, the, you know, that kind of stuff really works for me. It really like brings me, grounds me. It makes my gut feel good. It like starts my whole system better than like eating a bunch of leafy greens. That's one of those things that's like so integrated into how I eat now. I don't even think about it, but like I'm literally eating like a big plate of scrambled eggs with cheese and like big crusty bread. And that's
exactly what I ate this morning. I mean, right now.
Yeah. I mean, I like a hot, heavy breakfast works really well for me.
Me too.
So I think in a funny way, I basically taught myself what now people would call intuitive eating or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just went through it. I went about it on my own, which is like very par for the course for me. I have rarely really had like guides in my life, which I think is a big part of my teaching. I really want to be that for other people because I needed that so much, so many times in my life. And also went to people saying, I need help, I'm struggling, and just got like radio silence. And that was so disappointing and so difficult that I really hope that I can fill that for other people. I think that's like, that's really a drive for me to hold that space for people. And like, I recognize how important my role can be for someone. Like I take seriously that people show up for class week after week, month after month, year after year, because I know the few teachers that I really have had, like how important it was for me to be at their class or like, you know, be able to interact with them for long periods of time. So all of that basically, I guess, led me to just like food appreciation in a deeper, better way. And then I think as I've just gotten older, traveling, going to Europe is really important to me. I've been to Asia a couple of times too. Like being in places where food is really valued and quality is really valued. I mean, I was in Japan and I've never eaten better food in my whole life. Like just unbelievable, shocking, astounding. Every time I'm in Europe, it's just like, oh, right. It's totally possible to like, it's like once you've been in Europe, you can't be on the like, bread is bad for you, cheese is bad for you, like all that stuff. Cause you're just like, oh, everyone here is eating all these things all the time and they're happier. They're more relaxed. They have less diseases. Like it's just, it really brings home how much like stress and bad quality of food is really like the issue.
Totally.
So I feel like as I've gotten older, the maturing that I did that broke me out of things being like a really hard structure and being like, you know, like no sugar is just, wanting to enjoy life and really like when I go to Europe, I feel like my goal is that I sit places and I watch people and I try and soak in, I try and just like learn from everyone else. And I'm just like, oh, look at these people who are just like having a glass of wine at 3 p.m. and they're just like relaxed about it. And they're not like, oh my God, I drank in the middle of the day. My rest of my day is shot. I can't go for my run, like whatever. Like they're just like enjoying life, you know? So how do I integrate that into my like very American, like, you know, living in New York City, fast paced lifestyle? And for me, that looks like cooking, taking part, like being part of the co-op, going to farmers markets, trying to like get my food at places that I value, taking part of the neighborhood that I live in, which is a Ukrainian neighborhood, and you know, like learning about that culture. Now I eat a lot of smoked fish. I mean, I'm also Jewish, so I love smoked fish. And
so what's that place with all the pickles that you love so much?
Yeah. Net cost, is that
net cost? Yeah.
My God, we have to do a net cost a field trip sometime. Their motto is food from everywhere for everyone. And it's like, you're just running around like, oh.
And then we can go to Tatiana.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm curious about, you know, I don't actually even know how long you've been doing Nourish Yourself, but I'm curious about the origins of that and how that ended up like making sense for you as a module within your practice. I know you've told me in the past that people were kind of already in maybe some sort of movement practice with you and were coming to you proactively asking for help or advice or tips about, you know, this totally other, not totally other, it's all related, but about food and cooking stuff and feeding yourself. So did that kind of happen first? And did that reach a sort of fever pitch where you were like, oh, right, this should be a thing that I do?
Yeah. A long time ago, when I just had one storefront, I think, I added these sessions I called holistic health sessions to what I did, basically because my private clients, I realized I was kind of giving them a lot of free information. Just a business decision. I was like, oh, people want to talk about this. Let's just make this a separate thing. And I like don't heavily advertise those because it's kind of there. I was using them like, if people ask about it, I have this thing. Oh, we can have that separate conversation. But then with the series and just continuing to develop a virtual business, I did keep getting messages from people. What do you think about this? Do you ever do that? You know? And I just feel like in the niche that I hope that I sit in, which is like this, you know, encouraging self-awareness and definitely very feminist. So kind of like anti-patriarchy, anti-colonialist sort of way of engaging with our bodies. Food is like, that's how you're alive, you know? And I find that for so many people, it's such a damaged place. And I see them make so much progress physically with me and getting in touch with themselves. And then I'll kind of like hear on the sidelines, you know, language that they're using around food or just recognizing that it seems like there's still a lot of lack of information or skill, you know, around cooking or food and organizing their meals. And to me, like food is life. Like food is how we engage with the world, with our bodies. You're literally taking what's in the outside and turning it into you. It's like pretty amazing. And I think I also work with a lot of younger clients these days. And it's like, if there's something that really motivates me, you know, when I talk to someone in their 20s who's already starting to work on this stuff and like untangle this stuff, I'm just like, if I could just help you be able to literally feed yourself with grace and understanding, and then you can just tune out that bullshit for the rest of your goddamn life, like what power, you know? Because I just feel like, especially as women or like female presenting people, that messaging that we get, it is literally designed to hold us down and hold us back. Like that is the point of it. That is the point of constantly telling us that our bodies are wrong, the way that we do everything is wrong. And to make women obsess about their food every day, that's literally just like wasted mental and physical energy that we could be putting into other things. And it enrages me. And I, you know, it's like, I want someone to be able to like, you know, a lot of us got catalyzed by like 2016 and Trump and all this stuff. And just like misogyny just became really mainstream. And I was just like, you know, whether or not you're a big fan of Hillary, I had this feeling like, I want to know that a woman like that is stepping out on that stage, going to those debates, and she's not thinking, gee, I wish I hadn't had half that bagel earlier. And I don't know if she did, you know, I have a feeling she probably did have that thought in her mind at various times because she's a woman in this culture. And the most heartbreaking part of watching Beyonce's giant documentary about her Super Bowl thing was the part where she was fucking dieting. And I was just like, you're the most powerful, incredible force. Like, you're a goddess upon earth. And you're telling us that you're eating this thing, you're doing keto, basically, was like the one part of that. And I just was like, no.
She like wasn't eating. And she was training like so many hours a day.
And because she lives in this culture, she was super proud of that. That was a big part of that thing. Look at everything I've accomplished.
She's like, I can fit into this outfit again.
Yeah. And like, look at everything I've accomplished barely eating anything. And I'm just like, oh my God, girl, that's not the way.
Yeah.
So that really motivates me. And I think like part of this program that's hard to articulate is like, because I fully understand that a lot of people reach out to me, they want to be part of this program, but they do want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And it's not, quote unquote, a weight loss program. But what I always say to people is, you know, if your food is really disorganized, if you really are, you just kind of are, you're just in a whirlpool of having no idea which way is up, you might lose weight because you might really be in a state where there's just like zero organization and just starting to really tune into yourself, organize your meals, and, you know, better understand your hunger may result in you losing weight. I don't know. But what we've talked about is like, so often people are looking at losing weight. It's really more a commentary about how they want to feel in their life and just feel better, confident, relaxed, comfortable in their body. And so that becomes this catch-all phrase. Oh, I want to lose weight. When really, I think if they just felt those things, that would really like slide off the plate, I guess, to make a pun.
Yeah. Which is this a good segue into my next question, which is about like, you know, who do you generally find is the kind of person who is drawn to this class? And, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, what are the patterns that you notice?
Yeah.
Which obviously we've talked about it, but, you know, breakfast immediately comes to mind.
Yeah, I think I'm sure we have overlapping community in this way where the people that are drawn to this are not starting at zero, right? They don't need to watch Super Size Me. They're not living on Big Macs three times a day and thinking that that's a great idea. They're educated. They've read stuff. They like to go eat good food places. They've got some yummy things in their house already. They're not, you know, like a bachelor with an empty fridge and like zero idea how to boil water. But usually it's somebody who had disordered eating in the past, which I basically would say like we all did or do, you know. And they've recovered from that enough that they're like, well, I'm not doing my binge restrict behavior anymore. But now I don't know what to do. Like I don't know what a regular plate looks like. I don't know what a quote unquote healthy meal really is. I have some random ideas. There's supposed to be lots of protein or not carbs or low fat. Like what are these little buzzwords that when I make a meal, I kind of think I'm doing this wrong or I'm doing it quote unquote right. I don't want to be on a diet anymore, but I also feel like whatever I'm doing isn't really supporting me. I don't know what to do anymore. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of fear. Like, I don't want to give up stuff. I don't want to give up bread. I don't want to give up booze, you know? And so there's a lot of like hesitance of looking more deeply at their nutrition because there's already an assumption I must be doing it all wrong and I'm going to have to go on some kind of really restrictive, terrible experience.
And I mean, you know, to me, the most obvious like thing that people might struggle with not wanting to give up is like my current size.
Mm-hmm.
Because I often find that, you know, it feels like there's already a struggle going on to just to like maintain, you know, because the goal is just to preserve, or maybe the goal is to reduce, but the sub goal at minimum is like to preserve, you know, which is just like so depressing, but
I mean, not to gain anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah. I can totally see how that might intersect with fear of changing routines that maybe have aided you for a long time in accomplishing that goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that often means that people reach out when something else has kind of shifted, like they've had a kid and now they're like, okay, those routines that worked before, I'm super tired and I'm finding myself like wolfing down gummy bears at like six in that, you know, right before dinner, like whatever, something has shifted in my life and now it's, my routine isn't working that worked before and I don't know what to do. Or some other change, menopause or, you know, something else has shifted. Even just the fact that a lot of people work from home now and they don't have their commutes and they don't this and that. And they're like, whoa, I'm less active and I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that.
Totally.
So yeah, my goal is really just to help. I trust the intelligence of the people that I work with. And so that's often what I'm trying to do is help people just tune into themselves and their own awareness and their own innate intelligence. And if I give you the information that's not full of patriarchal garbage, I trust that you can now take that and forge your path. And obviously I'm here to support you, but one of the workshops that we do is literally just like basics of nutrition, just really understanding like what is a carbohydrate and what does it do in your body and why do you need it? Now that you have that info, I think you can make good decisions about that. Like I think you're empowered now to just not pay attention to the latest fad and just recognize like, oh right, my brain literally runs on carbohydrates. Like water is in my body because of carbohydrates, which makes me not have muscle cramps or like heart failure. So I can engage with that as a food group in a much more knowing, relaxed way. It makes you less susceptible to all this inundation that we have from social media and even from friends and family. Everybody has a friend or family member who's like constantly dieting or, you know, latest thing. Oh, you got to try this. Like I lost so much weight, whatever. And it's so helpful to just have the information to just know like, yep, I don't want to do that. Good for you. Talk to me when you're 85 and you're still doing that.
Okay. Just a couple more questions.
Yeah.
One, I think it's useful for us, for us to just include in this, like, you know, why were you looking to collaborate with someone like me?
First of all, I just love people in the food industry. I have a lot of friends and like dated a lot of people in the food industry. And it's a world that I really appreciate. And having the perspective of someone who's really coming to this from a place of just food appreciation seems like a great perspective. And I also wanted somebody who's not like, I think so often when there are food programs, and honestly, even when I see there's often like a funny spectrum, like two extremes that you see in like food and like nutrition stuff. Even in the intuitive eating world, it's like, join my program, learn how to eat well. And everyone is like a size 2 and blonde. Even if it's like, we're going to
say, and the program's a diet.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, even if it's like really couched in kind of like holistic language, I'm really turned off by that, you know, or you'll get someone on the other side that's like, learn how to tune into your body. And like, they're kind of sort of so on the other extreme where they're maybe in a really large body that I also am kind of questioning, like, what is this program and what are we trying to learn here? It feels almost like now the fad is almost like we're so against every, I don't know. It's both are off-putting to me for their own ways. And you're hitting also like a nice nexus of like food appreciation, interest in your own health. Obviously, we've been working together for a while now, so I know that you have an engaged physical practice. So like we are the clients, you know, like we are the client that we want to be joining us. Like we're not on either end of a spectrum. We're just a very like general person trying to understand how to be better in the world. And I think in a funny way, there's a lot out there for people that are like there's definitely a program for you if you are like just recovered from an eating disorder, and like there's a lot of programs for that, you know what I mean? But where is the program that's just for like a very general person who's just like, I don't know what to do? Like the stuff that you're putting out is like, you're not creating, your recipes are not like sprinkled gold dust on this and like, you know, it takes 3 days and 14 different things and like you have to have a blowtorch, you know?
I do those things, but privately.
Exactly.
Those are like my hobbies.
Yeah, exactly. So that's because I think that's what I want people to just learn how to engage with and enjoy their food. And somebody like yourself, that's like what you're trying to do. So we can bring those two perspectives together. You actually have the expertise to like teach people that. I just have the wish. I want people to experience that.
Okay. And how many years have you done this program now?
I've been doing these kind of holistic sessions for a long time. I don't even remember when I started doing them, probably like 2012 or something, but the NERD program just started last year. Basically, like I said, I was just getting enough people messaging me that I thought, I'll just put this up and see if there's interest. And it's something, as we've talked about, that I would love to keep growing, because I just really see as my clientele continues to develop, I have a real interest in like, for me, it's fulfilling to work with people for a long time and we all evolve and grow together. That's way more interesting to me than having people that just join me for like one-off things, just like quote unquote a workout. I don't really feel like what I do, obviously I'm giving people workouts, but it's, you could be getting free workouts on YouTube. Like if you just want to use a workout, there's workouts available. I hope I'm teaching you about your body and then we're just continuing to develop. And so these kinds of programs are really exciting for me because that's like, we're just kind of getting bigger and bigger in terms of addressing different areas of people's lives so that everything we do gets deeper. So now someone could be in the Nourish program, they could be in a Pilates class. Like we're really addressing our body and our lives from all angles. And that's really exciting to me because that's how people really make huge change. Like that's where people, I've had clients that were like on lots of anti-anxiety medicine or medication, and then literally just learn to eat more regularly. And they don't need that anymore because it turned out they weren't having panic attacks. They were just very hungry. And I have more than one person that's happened with. So like,
yeah, that's always just such a wild example to me.
Yeah. And knowing like you've changed someone's life in that way. Like that those people now have skills they didn't have before. And they're going to pass those skills on to anyone else that they're talking to about that stuff. And like, that's huge. That's a person who really had a lot of misery who doesn't now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You kind of answered my question, which was like just about what you've personally taken away from running Nourish Yourself in the last couple of years. But in case there's anything else you feel like you want to add.
It's really that. And like, I think overall my goal just in all of my teaching, because I at this stage, I mainly work with women and female presenting people, that if I can be any voice that's just helping someone navigate through what is really a lot of oppression that we deal with every day, if I can help anyone untangle that internally so that they can quiet those voices and just focus on what they want to focus on and whatever their lives are, their in all aspects. That's amazing to me. I just feel like this is a vehicle for me to do that. I could be teaching something else. I could be teaching art. I could be teaching, you know, whatever. But for whatever reason, I got into fitness and movement and food stuff. And so that's the vehicle that I'm using to teach people those things. But I feel really strongly about it because I think women, we have so much to offer and the world is really tilted to hold us back and distract us from our strength and our power, like at every step. So any place that I can push against that and gives people space to really come into themselves, I will teach any modality towards that.
Oh. Okay. My last question is, what is on your end of summer cooking bucket list? I saw on Instagram that you were roasting boatloads of beautiful tomatoes. Want to know where those are going, et cetera, et cetera.
First of all, I hate fall.
Which I don't understand. Like, I know this about you, but I don't know I don't know why.
Well, I love summer. So fall is the end of summer. I love summer. I love heat. I love being outside all the time. I love all the things you can do in the summer. And since the pandemic and spending a lot more time upstate, I love all the picking that I do all summer. It's like huge for my just like mental health. And also it's just like so joyful. I just love picking berries and fruit of all kinds.
And flowers.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's just like so joyful. And it's such a short window, you know, each thing, like strawberries you get for like 2 weeks, raspberries are like maybe 3 weeks, like everything is like this window. So you're like picking as much as you can. So the end of summer, I'm like hoarding all the tomatoes and, we have these really amazing orange cherry tomatoes here that are so ridiculously sweet. They're like candy. They're ridiculous. So I've been roasting those and then just freezing them in freezer bags so that I have them for, we make pizza pretty regularly. So that'll be fun.
But oh, that looks so good, by the way. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. The co-op, there's like a bougie co-op here that does fresh pizza dough. So we usually,
just like our bougie co-op.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I will use those for all kinds of tomato-y based sauces and stews. And then I'm going to also do the plum tomatoes. I'm probably going to boil a bunch of those and just make them almost like, instead of having cans of canned tomatoes, just for the same purpose.
But wow, are you going to like can them?
No, I'm not going to can them. I'm just going to freeze them. But just then they'll be instead of like a can of tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Same idea.
Yeah, same idea. A little faster. And then I'm going to try, I think blueberries are still out. I already froze 2 giant gallons of blueberries, but I'm going to try and get another 2 in the freezer.
Gallons?
Yeah, right? Isn't that the bags that are this big? That's like a gallon bag, right?
Wait, the Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are gallon bags.
Yeah, because I picked about a grocery bag amount of blueberries.
Like, yeah, wow. Oh my God.
2 buckets of blueberries. So wow. All of those. And I made 1 pie out of it, but wow. I'm going to try freezing them. And I've never made jam because I am scared of canning. But then my friend up here was like, you can make freezer jam. And I was like, you totally can. Yeah, so I'm going to try and do that and do like little sandwich bags because I do eat a lot of jam in the winter.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of compote too. I'll eat that in the winter. I eat more oatmeal in the winter for sure. I don't really like it other times of year, but you know, a little bit of that with some freezer berry compote. Nothing like it.
That's what I'm going to try and do next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to berry binge of all things berries and try and get them all in the freezer.
But once they're frozen, you know, then they're frozen and you can make your, then you can just pull them out and make compote or jam with it, whatever you want.
That's also a good point. I don't have to do it all right now.
You don't have to do it all now. Well, you have to get the berries frozen now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.